Okay, on our podcast today, I have with me Ted Morgan, CEO and founder of Skyhook Wireless, and we're going to review some of the capabilities of the new Loki 2.0 that will be announced this week. By way of background, Skyhook is a developer of the Wi-Fi positioning system, which is the first indoor-outdoor positioning system that utilizes Wi-Fi rather than GPS or cell towers to pinpoint location. So for our listeners, we're really going to focus on today is the new version of Loki, which is Skyhook's web-based application for local search by providing kind of a one-button access to location-based content. Some of the new features that Loki 2 has, is it's been upgraded to support some SMS messaging as well as email. So this is some very cool stuff, and we've got Ted online. Ted, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me with you today.
So I want to first focus on some of the basics of the Loki 2.0 functionality. One of the things that was mentioned that you mentioned in some of the product notes are that it's this the auto location awareness. Can you walk me through some of the functionality of how it does auto location aware, some of the things that are involved with the location tuner aspects, for example, and any feedback that you might have gotten from the beta version?
Sure. So we've gotten a tremendous amount of feedback from the large user community we have around Loki, and a number of things have come up to the top of the list. One of those is just greater platform coverage. So you'll see in this announcement that we now have Loki available on a number of other operating systems and devices. In addition to that, what we heard from users is that they want to keep Loki running all the time, but what they don't want to do is sacrifice screen real estate in the form of a toolbar. So some of the things we've done is improve and enhance the user interface so that I can be part of the browser without having to give up any static real estate in the user experience. So you'll see we've hidden capabilities so that it only comes to the forefront when you need it. We've also made it a lot easier for users to customize Loki and almost create their own designer set of features that highlights the things they want to do more than others. So they can choose their own channels, they can choose what features they want to see and which features they want to remove altogether. And that's driven just directly from consumer feedback. Some of the other things we've done, as you've mentioned, is we've added things to allow you to share your location with others via SMS and via email. We also let users tune their location. So if they want to adjust what Loki is calculating for your position, they can feed to the system their exact location, and we'll actually use that to improve the system.
Yeah, I've used that feature of the tuning when I've tested it out. And so you just mentioned a question I had, which was the feedback. If I tune my location to the address at which I'm currently located, do you get feedback on that, or is that just a local, individual browser, index that it uses?
We actually do get feedback on that, but one of the things we'll do is we've actually developed this patent-pending model that allows us to calibrate input based on confidence. So you'll update that location. We'll say Joe feels very comfortable about where his location is, and that'll always be used as your location in that spot. But if somebody next door to you was to use Loki, we wouldn't use that until they corroborated your adjustment. And so as more and more people make that change, we'll then share that new location with other people. But immediately what it'll be used for is just for your purposes on your browser.
So if it doesn't immediately find my location and I go and use the tuner, does it use an initial geocoder that you've got running in the background to find my address and then update, the maps that way?
Yeah, we'll use geocoding, reverse geocoding tools. Mostly what we're doing is trying to calculate your latitude and longitude. And so we'll use the address that you've submitted as a way to figure out your lat long. But ultimately that gets translated back to an address using things like reverse geocoding.
I found the SMS function really interesting, too. Can you tell me, what applications you envision for that, or is this just kind of a social networking application you wanted to put in there?
Yeah, what we were doing there is just exploring how people want to share their location with others. The primary function of Loki is to use your location for narrowing search, for you to find information around you on the web. What we wanted to do with email and SMS is start to explore the idea of you sending your location out to other people. And that was really our first step in doing that around SMS and email. And what that evolved into is some of the applications like we launched with AOL, where you're integrating your location into communication like Instant Messenger, so that you're pushing your location out to all of your friends and they can see everyone all together on a map. And that's really a piece of adding location to communication.
Yeah, and then walk me through that application with AIM a little bit. It's an embedded functionality in AIM. How do I get to the point where I can see everybody in my friends list on a map? Is that just another function within a toolbar in AIM?
Well, what happens is when you go to the AIM website, you'll see a place to download a location plugin. That's the plugin that AOL built using our technology. And what it allows you to do is to share your location with all your buddies. Now, for the purposes of privacy and security, the only people who can see your location and whose location you can see are the friends of yours that have downloaded the plugin as well. So when you download the plugin, what you'll need to do is tell all of your buddies on your buddy list to go and download this as well. And then everyone who has downloaded the plugin can now see where each other are at any given time on a map, as well as do things like set up alerts so that when someone is within a certain distance of you at any given time, you'll get an alert to contact them because they're nearby.
Is that a geofencing function that you've embedded in there as well to get those
exactly.
Alerts?
Exactly. It's AOL's version of geofencing, right?
Right.
And what's great about that, this is, AOL is leveraging a network of 50 million users. The real challenge that some of these other Friend Finder and Buddy Finder applications have is they're forcing, a new concept onto a whole new set of users. AOL already has these users, and they're very comfortable with the kind of information they exchange with their buddies on their buddy list. And this is really just an extension of that. It's pretty amazing if you really pay attention to how many times during phone calls or instant messaging that you'll say to somebody, "Where are you right now?" And this just simplifies that whole process and actually offers up or introduces whole new application concepts where you can actually meet friends or new buddies based on their location. There's dating applications, there's social networking applications that can take to meet whole new sets of friends.
Is the business model behind that still advertising? All the tools are free. So do you see this as still an advertising-based model for AOL?
Yeah, absolutely. In this whole area of what some are calling the geo web, it's really local advertising that is the business driver. What AOL is trying to do is get more and more people using IM and using Instant Messenger for more and more things, so that once they have your location, that advertisement in the IM window can now be locally targeted. And as we all know, local ads drive a much higher click-through rate as well as a much higher cost, so that AOL can make more money now that they've been completely converted over to an ad-supported business.
So let me branch off to an extension of that idea, which is, you've been promoting Loki to the development community and allowing them to download the API. What's the benefit there, to someone who's trying to location enable, say, like an online e-tailer? That seems to be like direct competition for what MapQuest is doing, that type of thing. Is there still a market out there to get the retailers location enabled on their web?
Yeah, absolutely. If you talk to retailers, what they'll tell you is the most heavily trafficked portion of their site, the most heavily trafficked page, is the Store Finder page. And if you think about very large retail franchise operations like Kinko's and Starbucks and Home Depot and Target, the primary focus of the website is to drive you to the nearest store. But the challenge is you're forcing someone to go through a process of having to type in their information, see a list of nearby stores, try and get directions. It just slows the whole process down. If they were able to automatically query your laptop, your handheld device for your location, the very first page you see could say, you know, welcome to the Kinko's website. Did you know there's a Kinko's 200 yards down the street from you right now? And that's what this JavaScript API can enable. Just by adding a couple lines of JavaScript to your existing HTML, you can request the location of the user. Now, the user has complete control over that, where they can prevent certain sites from seeing their location or allow only ones that they trust. But once they approve that transaction, it makes it completely seamless for all the content to be tailored around the store near you, the inventory in that store, and even promotions and rebates that are very specific to that store location. So this is something retailers are very interested in. They're just coming up to speed that this technology is available.
Yeah, so taking that a step further, you know, since it's a Java-based API, I mean, I assume that a lot of this is going to be embedded into some of the mobile devices, phones, iPods, whatever, such that, you know, we're going to see Loki on the phone pretty soon if it isn't already. Maybe you can tell me a little bit about what your plans are.
Yeah, well, obviously the whole world of location gets much more interesting on mobile devices. And so that's a big focus for us. We're spending a great deal of time enabling our technology to run on mobile devices. The first example is actually part of this release, where we have Loki running on Windows Mobile devices. We're also spending a great deal of time with partners like Surf Technologies, for example. They're the dominant GPS chip provider for most of the handsets that are out there today. And we're working with them to add our technology to their GPS chips so that the phones out of the box have some form of location, either from Skyhook on its own or Skyhook in conjunction with GPS from companies like Surf. And so that is the whole idea, is to drive location into everything people are doing on these phones. And so what we're trying to do with this JavaScript API is make it very easy for these content sites to take advantage of this location. What you don't want CNN.com to do or Starbucks.com to do is have to think about every single user and what device they're on and what kind of location they can get. You just want them to very simply say, what's the location of the user, and then I want to change my content. So not only are we releasing this JavaScript API, we've also working with the browser vendors to create a standard around adding location to browsing. So there's actually a new working group, standards body, for adding location to browsing. It's called locationaware.org. And we have Opera and Mozilla, who are actively involved in that standards process. And we're looking to recruit the other browser vendors as well.
Yeah, I just want to go back to something you mentioned with the relationship between you and Surf, which you announced earlier in the spring. What always intrigued me about that relationship was that there's, and I think we talked maybe in a previous discussion about the handoff between GPS and Wi-Fi. So I think you're providing software to Surf at this point so that they can embed that in the GPS chips that they release to handset manufacturers. So I've always been intrigued at that handoff and how that works, because it's going to look transparent to the user, I assume.
Right, and that's the idea, is that the user shouldn't have to care whether they're in a good position for GPS to work or for Wi-Fi to be working. They just want to do a local search and be done with it. And so the handoff is done at the software layer. We've spent 6 to 9 months working with the folks at Surf to create this hybrid positioning logic that looks at both systems and can tell by the environment it's in which system is providing the more accurate position at any given time. And it'll either elect to pick the more accurate system or, in some pretty sophisticated ways, actually merge the two locations to produce an overall better outcome. And so that stuff's all invisible to not only the user, it's invisible to the network operator, it's invisible to the application developer, it's all handled by Surf and Skyhook.
When's the release date of the first chip that are going to have the two technologies? Do you happen to know when that will be?
I believe it's sometime in the end of this month or into June, but I can double check. It is a Surf product, so we really need to ask them.
Right, yeah, yeah. In fact, we had Kanwar Chadha as our keynote speaker at our event, so we were kind of asking him the same types of questions.
Yeah. Well, you know, Kanwar's really been a visionary in this space, you know, as the dominant player in the GPS world. He's starting to think about what happens next, and his main concern is if people aren't using these systems and using these applications, then there's really going to be no demand for his product. And he recognizes that cell phone users, mobile users, spend a good portion of their time in places where GPS doesn't work very well. And so he's actively looking for ways to provide, you know, a single interface that has ubiquitous and reliable location. And that was really the main reason for Surf striking that deal with us.
Well, Ted, thanks very much. I don't want to take too much more of your time, but we appreciate your insights and getting an update on Loki 2.0.
Okay, great, Joe. Thanks.
Thanks for joining us for our LBS360.net podcast with Ted Morgan of Skyhook Wireless. We hope you enjoyed the conversation today, and we hope you'll join us again next time. Please be sure to tell a friend.